trying to put me to sleep?
This is the Stones. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but it's like...
You told me to keep it light and easy this morning with the music, listen, and that's what I'm doing.
The Stones sound like they're stoned on this one. Okay, nothing wrong with that. And we've got Matt Rothschild in the booth with me. And we're going to go back to the phone because I got Mark from the sack. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. You just cued something in my brain. You mentioned about Lincoln, you know, that hanging the 35 Indians, that was as well the, what, was it Red, was it Red Cloud, not Red Cloud, but the Red Crow, that the uprising in Minnesota. And there's a good book on that particular event, called Lincoln's Bishop, where Lincoln actually commuted the death sentences of, you know, of, there was originally like over 300 sentenced to death, and he commuted it down to the 35.
Oh, that was nice of him. Generous.
Well, I mean, they had been involved in that uprising and killing people.
I would have done the same thing as the Native Americans, man. I wouldn't have taken that. You got to be kidding me, man.
No, but it was. I mean, I'm not justifying that, you know, the hanging, but I'm just saying that there was a.
Let's not rationalize it either. I'm sorry, but.
Well, you got to put contextually what was happening. I mean, the Civil War was actually going on at that same time, and these people were in rebellion against, you know, the Union, and they were, you know, trying to settle justifiable grievances, and that it just got out of hand because apparently, you know, Red Crow was against, you know, doing that in the first place, and I guess what originally kicked it off is three young braves were talking smart, and they actually killed a settler, and it just kind of led to the whole thing getting out of control of everybody. What happened in that particular thing. But he mentioned the connections between the trees, and it's interesting that Ursula K. Le Guin wrote a story, short story called Faster Than Empires and More Slow, where men came to a planet and there was no you know, sentient life. There was no animals at all, not even insects, and the whole planet was just one vast green thought, because the trees connected with the grass, and the grass connected with everything, connected with one another. Even in the oceans, you know, the plants in the oceans were connected to the planet was just like one vast green brain and consciousness together. That to think about that made me think about that, all the trees being connected, and we actually do know that when you cut a plant. If there's nearby plants, you know, they react to it as well. They apparently react to it in some form or fashion. So it makes you think about every time you mow your lawn, you know, what's happening to that particular community in your yard.
A goat in every yard will take care of that. No, I understand, and thanks again for calling. But I got to go back to the Lincoln stuff for a minute here, okay? What you gave was the white guy version of history, and I'm not on that side, man, because I know the truth. And I know that if somebody invaded my land and told me they were my friend and then stole everything from me and murdered people, come on, I would have got up and started killing people too, man. That's just, I mean, that's war as hell, isn't it? Right? But if somebody starts a war with you, what are you going to do? You know, all the treaties they violated still to this day with these pipelines and stuff. And that's one thing that's been encouraging is, you know, we have Robert Pilot's show, you know, Native American radio. I'm awake. And yeah, Native Americans have always been woke to this, right? And Matt Flynn talks about you don't know history till you're woke. Man, I woke up a long time ago, right? And the history books, even as a fourth grader, I just, this doesn't sound right to me. It just doesn't sound right to me because I've met people from all around the world, and they're no different than me. No different than me, never were. I always just, like, greet people that are from different places. That was the best thing about being at the Capitol, was meeting people from all over the world. And that stupid pizza box collection that I have, there's some really cool stuff there where I met a man from China. He was like 80 years old, and he told me the story of how, you know, he survived the war because his parents threw him into a cave. And then he tells me about the two sons that he had, and like the first son was always entitled to this, and the second son felt real bad. And so, and I'm just like, wow, I don't know any of this stuff. And then he wrote the story in Chinese.
On the pizza box.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I've got like Egyptian, you know, hieroglyphics and stuff on it. People from all over the world, man. It was just, and I'm gonna do something with this collection because I don't seem to find a sponsor yet, and maybe I need to work more on that. But because of my views, there's a lot of people that don't want to touch it, right?
I don't know. State Historical Society might want it, Mike.
they wanted it back in the day. And I was like, well, yeah, man, but, you know, I think this is a lot of work I've put in on it. I think I should get something for it. And I probably wanted like $500. That would have been a lot of money at the time during the protest. I'd live on the square and sleep there, whatever, for as long as I want. And they're like, well, you know, what you could, you know, first you have to show us the significance of your signs versus the others. And I'm like, Ian's pizza boxes? Seriously? I seem to remember when they were plastered all over the wall, you know, and the grease that soaked into the marble. That's what they said about my sign. First of all, I only had one that said it was really greasy, and I used it, and I said, this one's like Walker, too greasy. And then these foreign students from the university, I was turning my back, you know, and they grabbed this sign, you know. They were Asian, probably. I think they were Chinese. And they started walking away with it, and I'm going, hey, man, that's mine. And they looked back, and I said, you guys want that? And they're like, yeah. And I said, cool, man. Go put that in the window of your dorm.
A little memorabilia for them.
Yeah. And, I mean, there were a lot of things that I pictured. I wasn't on Facebook then. Somebody put me out there, Pizza Box Mike, and they made me change my name for some reason because it was M. Dickman, and they probably thought I was trying to say that I'm a Dickman, which I am. That's my last name, man. And trust me, if you want to come at it on Facebook, I got some good replies because I've had this name for 60 years. And my dad, whose name was Richard but went by Dick Dickman, I don't know anybody that could be tougher than that.
That's a label to carry around.
Right. So, you know, I thought, gosh, Historical Society, this stuff really needs to be saved.
No, I'm serious about that.
Yeah, and then a really good friend of mine, who, you know, has helped me out in the past, she stored these at her place. And we haven't been in touch because she's working two jobs. But she listens to the radio and sometimes hears and maybe sends a message. And she moved. Well, then I got a hold of her, you know, sometime last year, and COVID's going on. She goes, oh, I moved, but I got all the boxes. And I'll be damned if they're in pretty good shape.
So how many boxes are we talking about?
Somewhere in the range of 500 or 600. Some of them are lame, you know, I wouldn't use. But I think I would use the one with the brother-to-brother teabagging with the pictures of the Fitzgerald brothers facing each other. Huh? Pretty cool. And that reminds me of the day that their dad, you know, nepotism, right? Head of the state patrol, right?
Yeah, that was nifty.
Oh, remember when Scott Fitzgerald was accusing a county executive that wanted to run for office? Oh, you're double-dipping? Dude, you... Not only do you look like you've been quadruple dipping, have you seen him lately? It's like, he's going to need a piano case. I'm not kidding either. He's got this big ass suit because he's big. And he accused people of double dipping. You should see the pension this guy's lining up. Wow. Military, state legislator, national legislator. And a complete disgrace. I used to call him Butterball because I made him so mad he'd just turn beat red in the face.
Fitz, right? You're talking about.
Yeah. You look like a butterball turkey, man. I don't care, man. You picked on me. And my younger brother,
Tom. Oh, he was just a bully. He's always been a bully.
Yeah, he's just a loser, man. And we punked him one time. You know, Segway Jeremy, right? Now, I'm friends with him. We don't have the same kind of ideas on stuff. But, you know, and he's got a following of people. But we called him at his home number that he had for like 30 years. And Jeremy knew how to make it reroute so that it was coming from the governor's office.
Oh, God.
You know? So, and then the voices are disguised. And hey, Scott, you know? And he said something really awful about his grandma. You know, nobody answered. And, you know, he kept saying more things. And then all of a sudden, Jeremy said something that I said to him like the week before. I said, you're going to get beat by a girl. And as soon as he said that, I was like, dude, he knows it's me. And he picks up the phone. Oh, you're a real tough guy, aren't you? Oh, yeah, tough guy. Well, he didn't know it at the time, but my younger brother Tom and Jeff Fitzgerald were roommates in college.
Really?
And they all three were drinking buddies, right? And so one day I said to Jeff, I go, yeah, hey, you know, and then I told him who I was. And I said, I'm a little bit different than my brother, right? This was after the recall and all this. And I tried to make peace with them with my vuvuzela, and I asked them if they'd sign it. And Fitzgerald, he was doing a press conference.
Did he sign it?
Well, he said, we might have to discuss it. And I go, well, you guys got a caucus over this, right? And then I ran down Robin Voss, too. He's going into a restaurant. It's all safe now. Recall's over. And I'm carrying my vuvuzela, and I walked into the restaurant right after him. And he's backing up with his hands up. And I go, no, man, I come in peace. This is a horn of peace. And then I set up a time to come in and sit in his office and talk to him.
Did you go?
Yeah, hell yeah, I went. About 40 minutes. Door wide open so everybody in his office can hear what we're talking about. And I had to interrupt him, and I go, hey, Robin, who do you think you're talking to, man? You think all this punk and stuff that I do is because I don't know what's going on? It's because I know what bothers you, dude. And he wanted, oh, well, you know, where are you from? Where'd you do all this? And I go, unfortunately, I went to the same college you did and didn't learn a whole lot there. Well, anyway, we got callers lined up, right? Oh, okay. We'll pick you two guys up. You got Steve and Delafield and Wisco Paul. You're finally up, buddy, huh? Or were you just drinking a whole pot of coffee before you called? We'll be back in a break.